Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rich Lenkoff here in Chicago monitors as well. He's a partner at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff and also the co-host of Legal Faceoff. And we've been asking him the last few days for his reaction to Susie's reporting and some of the principal points of the case. And I think this matters not only because it's just a very important case in America, but I think depending on what happens with the verdict in this case, it's going to resonate in the streets of cities like Chicago and all across America this spring and summer. So you and I have a very vested interest in how this goes. Rich, what did you hear there and what jumped out at you?
What was really interesting yesterday, John, was that usually the prosecutor needs to retain an expert on police policy in order to elicit the type of testimony we heard yesterday. The fact that you can get not just a sitting police officer, but the top law enforcement officer of the police department where Derek Chauvin worked to say unequivocally to the jury, very convincingly, that this was contrary to procedure, and basically this was murder. I mean, I don't know how else you can get stronger testimony. Again, generally, you have to hire an outside expert to get that testimony, a former police officer. And when you hire an expert, John, as you know, they carry with them the imprint of, you know, some partiality because they were hired to render an opinion. So the fact that you have Chauvin's former boss getting in front of the jury and saying this was contrary to policy, this was murder, that's a home run any day of the week.
He called it murder in June of last year. I don't think he called it murder in the trial, but I get your point. This business of drugs in his system, I think we all think, well, that's stupid. If you know, that could lead to an overdose or death. Do you think that will weigh on the jury? Will they think that it was the knee that killed him or the drugs that killed him and the knee was a mitigating factor?
All the state has to prove that the knee was a cause. Now, the legal term is proximate cause. Honestly, you know, you could find 10 different legal scholars to define that 10 different ways. The jury will never figure out what proximate cause means. But all the state has to prove was that the knee on the neck was a cause. He could have been high on a million drugs. It doesn't matter. The state has to prove that the knee was a cause of the murder, and they will get a guilty conviction.
Rich Lenkoff, partner at Bryce Downey and Lenkoff, co-host of Legal Faceoff, is on a phone line again. By the way, I don't know if you've been able to follow any of the additional testimony in the Derek Chauvin trial that's going on. You talked to us about that earlier today. Any other observations generally about what's going on in Minneapolis?
Yeah, we had another police official testify this morning about how Derek Chauvin took a 40-hour course on crisis intervention that included training on how to recognize people in crisis and how to actually de-escalate rather than escalate it. So yet more very damaging testimony from police officials about how he did not follow the standard of care that police officers were trained on.
Earlier this morning, you said that typically in a case like this, they would get a third party to maybe testify on behalf of the prosecution in this case, that maybe his actions weren't appropriate. But here was his highest supervisor, the police chief for Minneapolis, said that he categorically misbehaved in that case. You found that to be kind of startling.
It couldn't be more important. I think it might be not readily understood by the jury and perhaps your listening public, and not to say that in a condescending way, but it's very important to remember that generally to persuade a jury, you know, you need experts. That's obvious, but it's very rare in a police brutality case or police misconduct case to get, you know, an actual sitting officer. Why is that? Well, because of the thin blue line we've all heard about, right? It's police officers are very reluctant to testify against their coworkers, fellow police officers. We know that. In this case, not only is it a, you know, employed current police officer, there are multiple police officers and the chief law enforcement officer, the chief of police, saying that he contravened policy and earlier called it murder, you know, several months ago, back in July, called it murder. So that's such an incredibly important testimony because what is the defense going to argue if you bring in a third party? John, they're going to say, well, of course you're going to say that. You were hired to do that. And that's always the biggest obstacle when you retain a doctor, retain an expert, retain a police expert, is that you paid them for their opinion, and obviously they're going to say what you want them to say. In this case, the officers have no such bias because they are current police officers. So very, very important testimony.
Yeah. The rebuttal from the defense was that, well, you haven't been out in the field in a long time. Maybe you don't know what it's like out there. I guess the jury will weigh that. You know, I'm also interested when the defense gets a chance to call witnesses, if they'll describe the height and weight and maybe athletic disparity between the two. Officer Chauvin, I think, is 5'9". He doesn't weigh 160 pounds. And George Floyd was 6'4", 225, athletic build, very strong-looking guy, high at the time, so maybe not, you know, in full grasp of his athletic capacity. But I think, I wonder if they're also going to throw this idea out there, even though he was handcuffed and on the ground, that when some people are on meth, they develop superhuman strength and you have to use extraordinary force in order to subdue them. Do you think the defense will try and bring something like that up?
Absolutely, they will. They've already alluded to that. But it doesn't matter, in my opinion. I don't think the jury will be persuaded because, again, of what we just heard from the police officers who testified for the state, which is that it doesn't matter if you are a larger individual. When you're in handcuffs, when you're on the ground, the threat to the police officers has largely dissipated. And the amount of force that was used in this case, even though Derek Chauvin, even though Mr. Floyd might have outweighed Derek Chauvin and the other officers, was way in excess of what's reasonable. So they will make that argument. I don't think the jury will be persuaded.
Yeah. Maybe the knee in the neck, although the testimony from the person that trained the officers in Minneapolis said, I've never seen that hold before. That is not how we teach it. But maybe whatever means he was using could have been justified for the first 30 seconds or 60 seconds. Pick a number. But 9.5 minutes, right? I mean, the guy died under that knee at some point. At some point, that was not necessary. Maybe you get to have it both ways. Yes, you do get to put your knee in the neck. You don't get to do it that long. We'll see how this plays out. Let's go on to something else. Completely different. We were talking a little while ago about the dog, the president's dog, biting some people. One person on the White House grounds was, quote unquote, injured, sought medical attention, and the other one was nipped. I think nipped is what the owners of pets say, not what the people that get bit say. What does the law say about something like that when your dog bites somebody?
Well, it depends on the jurisdiction. In D.C., like in Illinois, we have what's called the two dog bite rule, believe it or not. There's such a thing, which means that a dog owner is liable only after the second bite. So basically, if you've got a dog, you get one free bite. I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's true, and that's actually the name that we use in the law, which means that if you're out walking your dog today, much like Joe Biden's dog was being walked when he nipped this individual, and your dog lunges at someone and bites them, that person turns around and sues you, you have as a defense, as the dog owner, that the dog has never bitten anyone before. You were unaware of its proclivity to bite. Therefore, you're not liable. In other words, you weren't on notice. Now, if that happens a second time, the day after, you're out walking your dog again, and your dog bites a second person, that second person sues you, then guess what? That notice argument is gone. Why? Because you're now on notice that your dog is dangerous, might bite people, and you have been negligent in not taking steps to avoid that. Then you're liable from a civil perspective. D.C. also has that same law. Some states have what's called strict liability, which means it doesn't matter if you didn't have notice. The fact that your dog bit someone and you own the dog, you know, you could debate whether one owns a dog, but that you're in possession of that dog, you're responsible. But D.C. follows the two dog bite rule.
Mm. Which Illinois has, and I think any of us who've had a dog that ever nipped somebody, I had somebody tell us once exactly what you told us. Yeah, we know you're good people, and that's a fine dog. Something happened, but it can't happen again. And we were really cautious with Fred as a result of that thereafter. Talk to me about the Deshaun Watson story. I believe now, 22, I think, is the number. Let me double-check on that. Do you have that in front of you?
That's correct. Yep, 22. The last one was filed Friday.
We're talking about lawsuits filed against the Houston Texans quarterback. What's going on here?
Well, there's three things to look at that are really interesting. Number one, from a civil perspective, these are civil lawsuits, right? So these are women, 22 separate women, who have sued Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, alleging a variety of allegations. This latest one alleged that Watson assaulted a licensed esthetician by touching her with his private parts and exposing himself. So that's number one. There is a civil lawsuit. Number two is there are criminal investigations ongoing. They haven't been completed, but the Houston Police Department are looking into whether he has violated any criminal statutes, which obviously, if you're exposing yourself, you would be guilty of. Third thing is, what does all this mean to his NFL career? As you know, as we've talked about extensively on your show and our podcast as well, the NFL has a whole different standard of what you can and can't do. And just because this might not rise to the level of civil liability, we'll see. And just because this conduct might not rise to the level of criminal liability, we'll see on that too. The NFL says, guess what? We have our own law. By signing that contract, you signed on to a moralities clause, which says that we have the right to fine you, fire you, suspend you, if we believe that you violated our morals clause, our standards clause. And at the very least, it seems like he has done that. So short answer is he's in a lot of trouble on three different fronts.
And even if he clears those legal hurdles, he might be unemployable. Who wants that guy? Everybody wants that guy. Nobody wants that guy.
Exactly. And hey, remember, in Chicago, we're desperate for a quarterback, right? I mean, those of us who follow it, we're not too thrilled with Andy Dalton right now. Nice guy, capable quarterback. But we were all hoping to get Deshaun Watson just a few short weeks ago. Now, we wouldn't, I think everyone would agree, we wouldn't touch him at all. And he's largely unemployable going forward. Yeah, well, listen, the Texans aren't going to cut him. He's too valuable. But this puts a big cloud over his NFL future.
Well, I'm glad that that's not our problem as fans or the Bears as an organization. Rich Lenkoff is a partner of Bryce Downey and Lenkoff, co-host of Legal Face-Off. Okay, we'll be listening. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, John.